Hey, this is Larry Goins. Welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A call for Inner Circle Students Only. How is everybody doing?
Doing great, Larry. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. Who do we have on the line?
This is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl. Who else we got?
Norm from California.
Ryan Farr.
Awesome.
You got Ryan Farr from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Awesome, awesome.
John Jackson, Baltimore, Maryland.
Great. Anybody else want to shout out before we get started?
Sheila Hyde, Denver, Colorado.
What's up? All right, so if it's your first time, I know we have a lot more people that like to speak up, and that's okay. Some people like to have questions answered, and some people just like to sit in the background and listen and take it all in, and that's cool too. The purpose of these biweekly Q&A calls is to have a chance to ask me anything you want about real estate, about the market, about what I'm doing in real estate, about the economy, about it doesn't really matter. Whatever it is to do about business, real estate, whatever, I am here to help you answer your questions, help you with a deal, whatever it is. So whether you have a question or not, it's really good information and education. You hear what other people are doing. So who wants to jump in first with a question? All right, not everybody at once.
I have a question, Larry.
Great.
This is Cheryl over in Arizona.
Hey.
I just went to the Inner Circle training. I just got back last week. It was last Sunday.
I know. In fact, by the way, I really, really, really appreciate your survey feedback. It was just awesome. It really was.
Well,
I appreciate you taking the time to put that together. And we made sure that we passed that around to everybody in the office. And Melanie, I don't know if you got to meet Melanie, but she is our COO, and she sent that out to everyone in the office, along with the message that it's letters like these is why we do what we do, and
awesome.
What sets us apart. And I really do appreciate that. It was really nice feedback, and thank you so much.
You're welcome, Larry. Kind of building on what we discussed there, I came home and I've been trying to look for some of the real estate, the bank-owned properties.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, they're all saying that you have to be a registered bidder or something to make an offer on that house. So does that mean I have to go through that real estate agent that's on the ad? Is that how I place an offer?
I'm not sure what that means, other than if it's an auction property.
Yeah, a lot of them are auctions.
Okay, well, so, if it's listed at an auction, then you typically do have to register as a bidder, depending on the website. Like with HomeSearch.com and Auction.com, you have to register to bid on specific properties, or at least register for that event, because a lot of auction sites have events that have multiple properties per event. So you have
okay,
to register.
Okay, so I can do it on that site.
I'm sorry?
Something to do on that site, not through a realtor or something like that.
Yeah, it just kind of depends. I mean, it depends on, where the property is listed and where you bid on it. Do you have an example of
I have two. One of them, it was let me see the address here. It was on 318 North Gum Street in Warsaw, North Carolina. And the other one is 556 on Fane Street, Clio, Georgia.
Okay.
And they're both saying you
must
be a
registered bidder. I guess
what I
mean is, do you have an example of where they are telling you you have to go to bid?
I don't understand the question, Larry.
In other words, you just told me that they said you have to be a registered bidder. Did they tell you where you have to register?
And no, it just has a little box that you click on to place a bid, and then underneath it says
you
must be a registered bidder. I'm not on it anymore, but I was on U.S. REO Properties.
U.S. REO properties.
Mm-hmm. And then I went to Zillow.com.
Let me ask you a question, Cheryl. Cheryl, let me ask you a question. Are they asking you to sign up and give them a credit card?
They are.
That, forget about it. That, all that is a subscription service trying to sell you access to properties.
Okay.
That's not the place you need to go to bid on it. You need to, if it's listed online, you need to go to either Realtor.com or Zillow.com.
Yeah, I think I was looking at Zillow as well.
Okay, but forget about those other sites where they ask for a credit card to sign up to get access to properties. All they're trying to do is sell you a monthly subscription service.
So just look for real estate-owned properties on Zillow and Realtor.com, and that would be just as good as far as finding them.
Absolutely. Any property that's listed on the MLS is going to be on Realtor.com.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what they're asking you to do, that's just a website that people have that all they do is pull data from other sources, and then they charge people for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had just done a search for, like, foreclosed or REO homes, and those are kind of what came up to try to find some that are more like bank owned.
Just go to Realtor.com. If they're listed on the MLS, it'll be on Realtor.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm really glad you brought that up. Yeah, cool. Anybody else have a question?
Hello, Larry. John Jackson, Baltimore, Maryland.
What's happening?
I am outstanding. It's a great day.
Awesome.
My question
That's
is,
great.
Is about the three-part addendum that I need to have in every contract. And it's actually about the second part, it's code violation.
Uh-huh.
Who, the as far as the agents, the selling agents or the buying agents, who would know what code violations are actually on the property? And when it becomes a bank property, do they actually have the code violations that may have been issued before they acquired the property? As well as the ones that may be issued after they acquired the property?
Okay, very, very good questions. And let me first answer it by starting out and saying this. Neither realtor is probably going to know of any code violations, okay? Neither one of them, the listing agent or the buyer's agent. And as far as the bank, they're typically not going to find out. Now, the second part to this is, the only reason in the world that I tell students to put that clause in their contract is only for the sole purpose is so you never buy a property and someone hasn't checked for code violations. Now, do you have to put that clause in there? No. You could do that yourself. All you would need to do is call the city building inspector and the county building inspector and ask if there are any current outstanding code violations for the address of the property that you give them. And you could really do it yourself. So neither one of them will probably know up front. And the only reason I tell you to put that in there is so nobody forgets to look it up and see if there are any code violations. Does that help?
Okay, great answer.
I'm sorry?
Thank you very much.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad that helped. Glad that helped. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Larry, this is Amin Shah in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey.
Hi. Yeah, I'm looking at a property in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Had the agent email me a bunch of photographs on the property. I asked him if the utilities are working, and he said he'll get in touch with the listing agent or something like that. And he got back to me today saying that listing agent doesn't know himself if the utilities are working.
Right.
What should I do?
Okay, so what is your reasoning First, let me ask you, what's your reasoning for wanting to know if the utilities are working?
Because the Filthy Riches program said the houses we're buying, they should be in a livable condition.
Right.
So I presume that means the heat, water, electricity need to be working.
Okay, so is what you're saying you need them on so you can have it inspected? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm wanting to be sure that the basic utilities are working. So when I turn around and sell the property, a person can move in and live.
Right. So what you're saying is you need them on so it can be tested to verify that they work.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So here's what you do. You put in your contract, subject to a 15-day inspection, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put in there that seller,
uh-huh,
seller to have the utilities turned on for buyer to perform due diligence.
I see.
Now, okay, Here's what's going to happen. Mm. You're going to put that in there, but then the seller's going to come back and they're going to say, buyer can put the turn the utilities on at buyer's expense,
mm-hmm,
which is okay. We've done the same thing where we have to go into the city or whatever. In fact, we're selling a house right now in Lumberton where the buyer wants to have the utilities turned on. And we said, that's okay, as long as you have them turned on in your name at your expense. So they're probably going to have you turn them on in your name at your expense.
How does that, what does that mean? I mean, how would I?
You're going to contact each utility company, whether it be the City Water Company, Duke Power Company, or whatever the name of the power company is. It could be Duke Power since it's in Fayetteville, and whatever the sewer company is, and tell them you need temporary power turned on or temporary service hooked up so you can inspect the property. And they may have some
I can do that even when the property is not in my name yet?
As long as you have it under contract to purchase, you have a vested interest in that property. And you can have the utilities turned on to do your inspections.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yes, it does.
Excellent. Good questions tonight, guys. Who else has one?
Okay, I'll be next then, Larry.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, on the seller financing, what's the best way to respond to individual calls when they ask how much is needed to be put down?
Okay. Let's just do a role play here, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and you act like you were calling about my house.
Okay.
And whatever house, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to say, hey, this is Larry. Can I help you?
Yes, I'm interested in your house that you have listed at 155 East Northway.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of calls on that house. I'm glad you were able to get through. I've been on the phone all day. Let me get your name and number in case we did get disconnected. So you're going to give me your name and number. By the way, did you hear what I said? Wow,
yes.
We've gotten a lot of calls on that house. Did you notice that?
Yes,
I'm creating scarcity.
Okay.
So, you gave me your name and number. So, Sheila, tell me a little bit about what you're looking for.
Well, I am looking for like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and particularly in that area that where your house is located. But how much is required to put down?
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Let me tell you a little bit about what we do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we help people become homeowners. that normally can't go to the bank and get their own financing, maybe because of a credit blip or something in the past, or something similar to that. And what we do is we work with deserving families that have a reasonable down payment and want to become homeowners and stop throwing their rent money away. Sheila, let me ask you about this question. About how much could you handle per month for something you would be buying instead of renting?
Probably around $700-$800 a month.
$700 or $800. Well, you know, the good news is I think that'll work with this house. Of course, really kind of depending on how much you're able to come up with as an initial investment, because quite frankly, the more initial investment you're able to come up with in the form of a down payment, the lower your payment will be. About how much do you have to work with as far as an initial investment?
Well, let's see, $1,000.
$1,000. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure that this is probably going to work for you, only because, you know, normally a house like this, we get about 20% down, and we're asking, you know, and the price on this, although it's a really good price at $79,900, you know, 20% down is going to be about $16,000. Now, if we were able to help you become a homeowner, now, you know, we can't do it for $1,000 down, but if we were going to help you become a homeowner and the only thing preventing you from moving ahead was the initial investment or down payment, if you will, how close to that 16 do you think you could get?
Let's see, maybe around 5 to...
Around 5,000?
Yes.
Okay. And where would that money come from?
From savings.
From savings?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Now, we're almost there. I mean, we're only about 11 away. So let me ask you this question. Do you have any relatives, maybe parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles, that may be able to help you out as far as an initial investment if they could help you become a homeowner?
I will check with them and see.
Okay, good. Now, where are you living now? Are you living with any family members?
No, I am in an apartment.
Oh, you're in an apartment. Oh, okay. Okay, well, good. That's good. Well, what family member is it that you're going to talk to about this? And maybe I can help you explain it to them so we can see if we can help you get that initial investment.
Let's see, possibly my grandmother.
Your grandmother. And what's her name?
Leela Land.
Oh, okay, great. Now, do you think she's at home right now? Maybe we could conference her in. How you like
yes.
that, Sheila?
That's fine. Yes.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. It does.
I'm always looking for money and cosigners.
Okay.
There you go. Did
all
that
right.
help?
It did, because I didn't know that you dwelled more into about helping them become homeowners.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Know.
I'm doing whatever I can to help them become a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
yes.
right. That's exactly right. Well, good. I'm glad that helped.
Yes, very much so.
Excellent. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry. Hey, this is Ryan Farr in Little Rock. Hey,
what's
I got a question
on?
Real quick. Hey, man. Hey, okay, so I was looking at how, and I drove by this house, and it looked in horrible shape on the outside. And then I looked online on the county website and saw it was owned by a nonprofit. And I called over there and talked to the guy, and he's like, yeah, the board of our company, you know, was just talking about that house and, you know, the shape it's in, and, you know, we want to get, you know, sell it. He sounded, you know, pretty motivated. He was like, yeah, you know, we're asking $35,000 for it. And, you know, we can close pretty quickly. So it sounded like they wanted to get that, you know, off of their, you know, one of their properties. Because the nonprofit, you know, helps people become homeowners and does, like, homeowner training and, you know, just informs them on a lot of stuff. So
sure.
Have you ever purchased a house from a nonprofit that's kind of like that?
I have, actually. So what you really need to do is just talk to them and see, you know, what they would be willing to cut it loose for as far as a cash price, and,
right.
You know, close pretty quick and see what they would be willing to do. Is the house worth 35 or more than 35?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm at that point where I can analyze and see, but I don't think so. You know, it's a 3-2. I think it's like 1,300 square feet. Let me pull it up real quick. Let me see. Yes, yeah, so 1,386 square feet, and it was built in. No, 1920. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
But I don't think it's worth $35,000.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. What I mean, how would that? I mean, let's say that I did negotiate with them at a price that was, you know, where I could make a pretty good profit. How would I go about getting that under contract? Is that like a for sale by owner, or how is that kind of classified? I mean, I guess how is that kind of
just the same as you would any other property. You could either use the realtor's contract that they use, or you could use your own contract. It really is kind of up to you, and you would just do it the exact same as any other
right
property, you know.
Mhm. Cool. Well, I guess how was the whole process whenever you bought from a nonprofit?
It's the same. You just write up a contract, and I usually, like, if I'm dealing with an organization, I'm going to use the realtor's contract personally, just because that way if they get a little squirrely or something, or they feel like, you know, well, I don't really know this guy's, you know, he might be trying to take advantage of us or whatever.
So right.
If you say, look, this is the exact same document that every realtor in the state of Arkansas uses. You know, so it's no different.
Right.
You know, and that just makes them a little bit more at ease.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. But I would do a little more analysis on it and tell them how much you can pay and then make an offer.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Larry, this is Amin Shah again.
Hey.
I was wondering regarding the seller financing houses that we are selling. What's your opinion on, as far as the down payment is concerned for the buyer? If I were to look up in the city for grants or assistance, things like that would help the buyer's down payment, do you think that's a good thing to do?
Well, you could, but a grant is probably going to have conditions tied to it, like it's going to be for specific areas or a specific kind of buyer, like maybe low-income buyer or, you know, single parent, you know, or something like that. So a grant is going to have strings attached to it, and, you know, and I don't know if that's either you're going to have to buy a property in that specific area where they offer grants, or you're going to have to sell to a specific type of buyer that can qualify for a grant. And if you do that, is that the kind of buyer that you want? Especially if it's a more expensive house where the payment's going to be high, are they going to be able to afford the payment on their own anyway, even if they get a grant for the down payment? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's always worth checking into. I mean, free money is free money if you can get it.
Yeah.
It's always
worth checking into. Generally, you think it's better to just make it come from the buyer, right?
If you can. Mm-hmm. If you can. The more money the buyer personally has vested in the property, the more likely they are to make their payments.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, what's another formula you're going to be teaching at the seminar next week for the owner will carry?
Oh, the seller financing event?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean by another, did you say strategy?
Another formula, another way to buy a house is looking for a different other ideas for how to, you know, buy something owner will carry.
Well, and it's funny you said that. Just before the call, I was upstairs working on the PowerPoint for that event. I've been working on it for about the past several weeks, and I'm going to continue working on it for the next 2 weeks until the event. But, I'm going to be working on several different formulas. I'm going to talk about buying with seller financing when the seller finances for you, and then I'm going to talk about selling with seller financing. I'm going to talk about brokering deals. I'm going to talk about a model that they use a lot out in Texas. I'm going to talk about selling partials, selling full notes. I'm going to show you how to use a financial calculator and how to run the numbers and figure all the numbers and how to do infinite yield investing. And I'm going to show you how to sell the notes, keep the notes, sell partials, borrow the money against them, and just a multitude of things. And I'm also bringing in people from other organizations. I've got an RMLO coming in to help you stay in compliance with Dodd-Frank. Actually, I have two RMLOs, and I have a servicer coming in, and I have an asset manager coming in as well, and also myself and several of my team members will be teaching. So it's going to be jam-packed 3 full days. So I
Great.
Hope that
like,
answers your question.
Yeah, well, the question I was looking for was, like you mentioned before, that you can pay near list price or even over list price and still, you know, make a deal.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be going over that formula in detail. And we even created a special spreadsheet to figure those deals. And everybody who attends the event is going to get that spreadsheet, and Paul is going to demo it for you and show you how to use it.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, John Jackson from Baltimore.
What's up?
This is a question. The workshop that you're doing 2 weeks from now has a tremendous amount of interest for me. If I can't be there personally, how can I get the information?
We only plan on doing that event probably once a year. We really only have one of them planned right now. It's the first one we've ever done. But our plan is to record it and then make the recordings available after the event.
Okay, then. So let me ask you this. If I sign up for the event and don't make it, do I get the recordings or do I just buy them afterwards?
Well, we can work something out with you like that. I don't know exactly what the details are going to be on that, but you can sign up for the event, and in the event that you cannot make it, then yes, we will be glad to apply that to the event recordings. I don't really know what the individual prices are going to be, but, we will figure all that out and let you know. And definitely, I mean, it's not going to be like if you can't go, we're not going to keep your money. We'll allow you to apply that to the event recordings. That shouldn't be a problem at all.
Good deal, Larry. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you could just go to nothingbutsellerfinancing.com to find out more information about that event.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Excellent. No problem. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, I got a question about transactional funding.
Sure.
And I looked at, I got the Filthy Riches, and I looked at some of the bookmarks and
saw,
I think it was Insider's Cash, and I think it was Best Transactional Funding.
Uh-huh.
Can you kind of explain more about transactional funding and how it works?
Sure. I'll be glad to. The way it works is transactional funding. Hold on one second. Let me write something down. Okay, the way transactional funding works is, say you're picking up a house for $50,000.
Okay.
You have a buyer lined up that's going to pay you $60,000. You're going to buy it at 10 o'clock and sell it at 10:30. But the problem is you don't have $50,000 so you can collect the $60,000. And your attorney or title company will not allow you to do what's called a simultaneous closing or a double closing and use your buyer's money to pay your seller. So you have to have short-term transactional funding, somebody who will wire the $50,000 to pay the seller so you can collect the $60,000 and keep the $10,000 difference minus closing cost.
Right.
So that's what transactional lenders do. They loan you money for a day, and they have very specific closing instructions. And their instructions are basically as simple as this. They don't release the money to buy the property from your seller until your buyer shows up with their money and signs all the documents. So their money
okay.
is really never at risk.
Right.
And they typically charge anywhere from 2 to 4 points to do that.
Okay.
And some of them have a minimum, like maybe a minimum of $2,500 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw that at a minimum.
Yeah. And Carolina Hard Money does that, too. They do transactional funding.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're in my office.
Cool.
CarolinaHardMoney.com. All right. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
I have a question, Larry. It's Cheryl.
Hey.
You touched a little on recourse and no recourse or whatever, like if the person who, like you sell or finance the property to, if they default on the loan,
then
it affects the note buyer because they're not making the payments. So if it's non-recourse, then that just means that was their risk and they're out of luck. If it's recourse, then that means I'm picking up the payments. In the meantime, if the seller defaults or if the person I sell or finance to defaulted on the loan?
Yeah, basically it's as simple as this. If you sell a loan with recourse, it means you are guaranteeing that the borrower will make the payments. And if they don't, you will, or you will replace that note with another note that is making payments.
Okay.
Yeah. So I always sell mine with no recourse, but here's the thing. If you do sell with recourse, you can typically sell at a lower yield because not only do you have the borrower, you know, on the line for the payment, but they have you on the hook for the payment as well.
Right, right. And my thought was on that, like, if you sold it with non-recourse,
uh-huh.
I mean, obviously you're not held responsible then if the person you sell the finance to doesn't make the payment. But say they didn't, would you be able to have an agreement with the note buyer that, hey, say they default, let me know. And, you know, you can pay them $1,000 to get out of the house and find them a new buyer, you know, find somebody else to take over that
Absolutely.
Note.
Absolutely. In fact, when I sell a note,
if
I sold you a note, Cheryl, I would say, look, I'm selling you this note with no recourse. However, if your borrower quits paying and you don't want to have to deal with it, I will find you another borrower. I'll put you another borrower in there. As long as I get to keep the down payment.
Because I could see that you could make the money doing that by, you know, filling in that gap and saving them that hassle, that there's a potential profit to be made doing that.
That's right. You could sell the same house 2 or 3 times, potentially.
Yeah, same house again, exactly, and get that upfront money
there
that down
go.
Payment or whatever. Yeah.
Then it's all a little extra money if you get another $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 down.
Yeah. So would you put that as a clause in your contract, or just suggest
no.
that make an offer to them?
I wouldn't
on
put
the
it
side.
In the contract. I would just let them know.
Let them know. By the way, if this happens, give me a call and I'll help you out with it.
That's right. If you want me to.
Okay. If you want.
However,
me. Okay.
I would also tell the borrower. I mean, not the borrower. I would also tell the note buyer. Look, if they stop paying you, that's the best thing that could happen. You could turn around and sell it again, and you could get $5,000 or $10,000.
And you get that money up front and then start collecting all over.
There you go. And plus, now you're going to have less money in the note because you got $5,000 or $10,000 down. So your yield's going
right.
to actually go up.
That's right.
It's but if you don't want a higher yield, just let me know and I'll sell it for you.
No, I'll find you a buyer. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll find someone to put in that house for you.
Exactly.
So. Okay. Yeah, because some of them don't want the headache. They don't want to have to do the work. They just want that steady passive income.
That's right.
You know, so they'll be glad to pay you that 5 or 10 or 15 or whatever for you to take care of that for them.
That's true. Some people, that's true, especially maybe professionals that already have a full-time career and they're just looking for strictly passive income.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like all the doctors I used to work for.
There you go. Now you're thinking.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to confirm my thinking on how that stuff works.
That's great. I like the way you're thinking.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, I got a question. Have you purchased a fire-damaged house before?
Oh, yeah, many of them.
Yeah.
Many of them. I've even bought fire-damaged houses before, and I got the insurance check when I bought the house.
Oh, wow.
They sold me the house and gave me the check.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a house that's, I think it's a 4-2, like 1,700 square feet, and I don't know how much, you know, fire damage is actually done to the house, but you know, it looks to be quite a bit. And I think they have it listed for $6,000, and I looked at something that said it sold for $80,000, but this was back in, like, 2007. But I mean, I guess the whole process of getting the house restored and everything. How much does that usually tend to run? I guess I know it depends on the size of the house, but
it's impossible for me to sit here and tell you how much per square feet because I don't know if it was a 3-story house and the fire started in the basement and went all the way through the roof. I don't know if it started in the kitchen,
right.
or the bathroom. Or how much, also a big part of it is how much damage did the fire department cause when they went out there to extinguish the fire? Because a lot of times they'll take their axe and they'll pull the sheetrock down so they can get up in the attic and see in the attic to extinguish everything that's up there, any kind of embers or anything that might still be smoldering. So a lot of times they ruin just as much as the fire does. So
okay.
It's really hard to tell. But I will tell you this, a fire-damaged house is a lot more difficult to sell. It takes a special buyer to buy a fire-damaged house. So just be careful with that. And remember that that's a major rehab. And, you know, you got to get, not only you got to redo everything from the fire, you got to get the smell out as well. And if
right.
And if the power was on, if the heat or air conditioner was on when the fire was there, it went all throughout the ductwork. And you either have to have the ductwork cleaned out or replaced as well, or every time the air conditioner or heat comes on, it's going to smell like fire.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things you got to deal with.
Cool.
But if you
appreciate
get
it.
A good enough price, you can make money on anything if you get it at the right price.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome.
So,
hey, Larry, I have a question. Yeah, I'm looking at some HUDs, and I've been looking at Aquin and Nation Star, and I'm wondering if you could give us a couple other lender websites that you have found that are working well now.
Well, you can pretty much find anything that Nation Star has at homesearch.com. Homesearch.com is the auction site.
Uh-huh.
And, they're pretty much all Nation Star properties.
Okay, all of them, okay.
Yeah. So that and auction.com and hubzoo.com and then, of course, hudhomestore.com, which
right.
is we've got a ton of deals at hudhomestore.com. We've got about 14, 15 deals on the board, and I think six of them are HUDs. And, we got quite a bit of stuff going on. And what else? Bank-owned sites. You could go to the individual bank sites, but you're better off just going to, like, Zillow.com or Realtor.com, where all of them are there at once. Because if you end up going to whether it be Ocwen or Fifth Third Bank or Bank of America or Chase or Wells Fargo, you're only seeing what they have. Where if you go to Realtor.com, if you're looking in a specific geographic area, you're able to find everything listed in that geographic area.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
John Jackson, Baltimore.
Hey.
Question, insurance. I've just purchased this property, paid cash for it. Now I need to insure it. What carrier and what type of insurance would you recommend?
So, it depends on what you're going to do with it.
I'm going to sell or finance it. The program that you have
okay,
in place
good.
Is which
so
suits me.
So here's what you need to do. You need builder's risk insurance until you have it sold. Okay? Once you have
okay.
it sold, you're going to make your buyer prepay a 12-month policy, and then you're going to escrow for the payments. And you'll have your servicer do that if you're going to have a third-party servicer.
Yes, third-party services must.
Yeah. So as far as insurance, the one that I currently use is Affinity. And I think their website is reinsurance.com.
reinsurance.com?
Yeah, it might be reinsurance.com. I can't remember, but it is Affinity Group, Affinity Group Insurance. And that's who I currently use. And there's some other ones out there, and I'm in the process of putting together a list of not only insurance companies, but RMLOs and servicers as well. For everybody.
Okay, then. Okay. I appreciate that answer.
No
Thank
problem.
You very
much. My pleasure. Congratulations on your deal. How much did you pay for it?
Oh, it's still up in the air, but I'm hoping it will happen within the next week.
Oh, okay. And you know about how much you're paying for it?
Well, I actually have three bids out on three houses. A maximum of $20,300 and a low of about $8,000.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Well, let me know how it goes.
I will do.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, cool. Who else has a question?
Yes, Larry, I have a question. This is Amin Shah again. On the seller financing model, Filthy Riches, instead of buying the property cash, is there a way to get the house under contract and then turn around and sell it without really buying it and using my own cash?
Yes, there is. I could finance that deal for you as long as
okay.
the numbers make sense. But also, you could use a credit card. You could use private money. Mm-hmm. You could use a cash partner. You could use credit partner. You could use your retirement account. You could use someone else's retirement account. You could line up your note buyer in advance and then have your note buyer wire the money for closing, and you could buy it and sell the note to your note buyer all at the same closing. So you're basically using your note buyer's money to pay for the property. That's called table funding.
Oh, okay. That's what it's called.
What about as an agent? Is there a way to do it as an agent where where you help the seller sell it with seller financing, and then you find the buyer, and then you turn around and sell it like that?
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Why are you wanting to do this as an agent? Because all you're really going to make is 6% of the sales price.
I'm seeing that in my area, because right now I'm doing the investing in North Carolina, but I'm very much interested to do it up in my area, Boston. But here prices are pretty steep.
Right.
And single family goes for over $300,000. I'm also a real estate agent here in Massachusetts, and I was wondering if there was a way to do it.
So you can get a commission on a $300,000 house without selling it to a buyer that can qualify for a bank loan. Yeah, I can tell you exactly how you can do that.
Are you going to cover that in the seminar coming up?
I am. Are you going to be there?
I'm really wanting to, but I'm not 100% sure, but either way, I want to get the recorded version of it.
I will tell you, right now I'll give you the short version. But here's what you do. It's a $300,000 house, so you're not going to be able to advise your seller to sell it with, say, 9% interest rate. Okay, it's a $300,000 house. So what you're going to have to do is find some people who have money in a bank account that's earning 1%, and you offer them to be able to invest in real estate mortgages at 6%. And then what you do is you list the property and say $300,000. They're going to get at least 10. You're going to try for 20, but you're going to get at least 10% down, which would be $30,000. Then you go to your doctor, lawyer, engineer, business owner that you've lined up to loan your borrower $270,000 at 6%. And they get the interest on the money. So your seller is going to seller finance it, and then they're going to sell that note to, let's just say, the doctor, who's going to invest at 6%. So they're basically buying it at face rate. There is no discount on the loan. So you got your commission, which came out of the $30,000 down, okay? Which, if you got 6%, you got $18,000 out of the $30,000. And then the seller got the rest, and then the seller got their $270,000. But the only key here is, the key here is that the house has to have some equity in it for the seller to be able to pay off the loan, or either free and clear or pay off the loan. Because the seller's going to sell their note at the closing table by the doctor who put up the $270,000. But I'm going to go over that in detail at the event. But that is the overview of how it works.
And this model would work even if there is an underlying loan on the house, right?
Yeah, well, think about it. Say if your seller owes $250,000 on the house. Well, when the closing comes together, they're going to sell it for $300 at the table.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sell it for $300, get $30,000 down, and carry back $270. At that same closing, they're going to assign that note to the doctor for $270, and the doctor is going to pay $270,000 in cash. So out of that $270, $250 of it goes to pay off the mortgage and make the property free and clear, so that mortgage is in first position, and $20 of it goes into the seller's pocket, plus the $30 that they got down, minus the $18 that goes to you as the agent.
Yeah.
You like that idea?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of you've got to put it out there and find some of the doctors or whoever that are interested in their money in real estate.
Yeah.
Cool. Did that help?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Good. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, well, when you were just talking about the people who maybe have, you know, some money tied up into some kind of, mutual fund or CD that, you know, just not getting a lot of money, getting a lot of return on their money. I can't remember who I heard this from, but somebody said, you know, there are list brokers out there that, you know, if you pay for these lists of people who maybe have, you know, their money in a CD at this bank, you know, you can pay for that list. Is there a way that you can find who those people are, other than, you know, obviously face-to-face interaction, just talking to people?
Yeah, well, I think like you just said, you know, it's list brokers, and you could mail them out a letter or a postcard. And but other than face-to-face, you know, go to your local REIA group. You know, there's other networking groups out. I mean, look on meetup.com for investment groups. It doesn't even have to be real estate investment. It could be stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Look for other people, you know, who just have money. And, you know, anybody that has money is a potential lender on real estate.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably the LinkedIn groups would be good, too.
The LinkedIn groups are good.
Yeah.
That's absolutely
they have a lot
right.
Of
that was a good
area.
That was a good point.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Good. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Well, Larry?
Yeah.
This is John Jackson again. If there's no more questions,
that's
I just want
okay,
to
you're
give
good.
A shout out to my coach, Nathan, and let him know that we appreciate him very much.
Awesome. I will be sure and text him as soon as we get off the phone and tell him you did a shout-out for him on the Q&A call.
Okay, then.
That's awesome. He is a great guy. I see him every day.
Love it. Thank
That's
you.
That's awesome. That's good. I really appreciate you telling me that.
Bye-bye.
That's good. We appreciate your business, too. Anybody else have any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I'm happy to hear that you're going to make the seller financing education material available after it, because I really wanted to go to it, but that's the same week I'm having my knee replacement surgery, so there was no way I'd be able to do it, but I did really want to go to that upcoming three-day event you're having, so I'm excited to hear that it'll be available, you know,
yeah.
Eventually anyways, for
we
purchase
will.
Or online or whatever. Or next year, even to go to it next year or whatever.
Well, I really hope everything works out with your surgery that you have coming up.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, I really do. If there's anything we can do, please let us know, and we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Thank you very much.
We appreciate
it. Oh, you're very welcome. All right, let's see what the question's going once.
I got one for you, Larry.
All right, go ahead. Sure.
On those short-term loans, like the transactional loans,
Yeah.
Would those be collateralized to cover the?
Yes, they are. Okay. In the event that, you know, if something goes awry, they are. But for the most part, you close on the sell before you close on the buy. So the transactional lender is always protected.
Okay.
But, yes, they are a mortgage on the property. But it's only for, like, 30 minutes.
Shortest mortgage ever.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's always nice to know you're covered.
Exactly. Yeah, it's quick, easy money for the transactional lender, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's a good business.
I've even seen some of those deals where we would make a transactional loan, but then the attorney would say, it's okay, the buyer's money's already here, you don't even need to wire your money. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
But you still get the points. That's crazy. Cool. Anybody else have any more questions?
I'm good.
All right, cool. Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys being on. I appreciate all your questions. These are really, really good questions you guys have. It shows me you're thinking, you're out there working the business. So let me know if there's anything at all that I can do to help you. If you ever have any questions in between time, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. The best way is by email. You can call the office, but the quickest way is by email. I answered 3 or 4 Inner Circle questions today. Just shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com and be sure and put Inner Circle in the subject line. So with that, thank you so much. And some of you I'll see in a couple of weeks. And some of you I'll also hear on the Q&A calls in 2 weeks as well. So if you need anything between now and then, please don't hesitate to reach out. And I hope everybody has a great night.
Great. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.